This is Mark.
New life. You can tell by looking around at me first and then at one another. We're dressed a little casually this morning. And the big news of the day is as soon as our morning service is over, all of us are welcome to walk next door to our church park. Everything's set up for you. Free cheeseburgers, free hot dogs, all you can eat, and a lot of good sides. Anything that goes with that, we have it prepared for you. First time in 2 years we've been able to do this, but we'll be out in the open air. It's going to be perfect out there. And we hope all of you who are here will, and by the way, our dress code, I guess you should know this about our church. We do have a dress code. Every now and then somebody will call and have questions about the church, and one of them is, what is your dress code? Well, and I'm nicer to them, but generally our dress code is just put something on and come on over. That's just wear something, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it's okay, and you're dressed up for it today. We're going to have a good time in our fellowship park. I hope all of you can stay. Now, I'm going to speak briefly so that we can maximize our time together in the park, good food and fellowship. We think it's lunch, but depending on how brief I am, we may call it brunch on our way over. So I do want to talk to you today about touching Jesus. And that's all that really matters. Touching Jesus. Now, I'm going to read a good bit of scripture today, and the verses that I will read bring attention to two different healing miracles Jesus performed. And we want to notice as we go along and look closely at these two healing miracles. Notice the distinction between the two. God is not a cookie-cutter God, and neither are the miracles he performs. He's so creative, but there's one thing in common, even though there's a distinction and a difference between these two miracles. The one thing in common is that God responds to our faith. Now, as I read these verses, watch the movie in the mind of your spirit. Beginning in Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Now, when Jesus had crossed over by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death." And listen to these words, they're important. "This father said to Jesus, 'Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and that she will live.' So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him." Now we see a need right there for one healing miracle, a little girl, a father's concern. "And while Jesus was on the way, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?' And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Now, as you know these two stories, the two healing miracles that happened concurrently, even though we won't go on and read the following verses, you know the story well. After this woman was healed who touched the garment of Jesus' clothes, word arrived to Jesus and to the father of the sick little girl, "Don't bother the teacher anymore. It's too late. Your daughter has died." And that didn't stop Jesus. He went ahead anyway and, of course, raised the little girl who had passed away back to life. But I want to notice some distinctions, how different these two miracles played out. First of all, this woman with the issue of blood had been bleeding internally, hemorrhaging, gradually losing blood from her body for 12 years. Some people think she was on her period, nonstop bleeding for 12 years. But there are two words that stand out to me. We just read them. She had suffered many things and had spent all she had. That may describe some of you today. Your life most recently, or at least in a season of your life, you have suffered and you are spent. Can you imagine how weak her physical body had to be after 12 years of gradually losing blood? The Bible says, and the doctors confirm, the life is in the blood. And when you're losing a little blood every day for 12 years, you're losing a little life every day. Oh, we can only imagine the strength she had to muster up to fight her way through the crowd to touch his garment. And many people who had been in her affliction would probably have given up long ago, thrown in the towel, rather be dead, lost all hope, it's too late for me. Many would have given up during that 12 years, but she didn't. And here's where things began to turn around for her. When she heard about Jesus. The Bible said she heard about Jesus. We've talked a lot about hearing lately. You know, we have one mouth and two ears. It should be twice as easy for us to hear as it is for us to speak. Perhaps we should do twice as much hearing as we do talking. And she heard the good news about Jesus, the healer. And then she took the next step. After she heard, the Bible said, she said something. She said, "If only I can touch his clothes, if I can get close enough, oh, I've heard how he's healed the sick, opened blinded eyes, raised the dead, even cleansed the terminal leper of his unclean disease. I've heard all. Then she said, "If I can just get close enough to touch his clothes, I shall be made well." And what we speak during a crisis determines the outcome of the crisis. You know the end of that story. She touched his clothes, and she was instantly healed. And Jesus asked those around him who touched me, and his disciples who were most immediately near him said, oh, what do you mean? Why would you ask that? There's a throng of people, this multitude. Well, people are bumping elbows, bumping hands, bumping fingers, bumping fists. I mean, a lot of people in this crowd bumping into you. But there's one thing to bump into Jesus. It's another thing to touch him. He knew he had been touched, not by her finger, but by her faith. Immediately when she touched him, he realized there had been an exchange, and faith is the currency of the Spirit. It works like this. If I need a refrigerator, I'll just use a refrigerator. Lord, I hope that's not a sign I'm going to need a refrigerator anytime soon. But if I need a refrigerator, then I go buy a refrigerator. But if I don't have enough money in my account, I will save up money until I have enough. And then the dollar, the currency, is the exchange. I go to the store, Home Depot, Lowe's, we won't take a vote. And I have enough money now in my account. I have enough currency to exchange. I'll give you what I've saved up for what I need in return. It works that way in the Spirit, but not with the U.S. dollar. It works that way in the Spirit with the currency of faith. If I need to receive something from God, and I'm just not quite sure yet, and I want to believe it, but I'm not quite there, and I have to keep building up my faith. I have to get in the Word, and faith comes by hearing the Word. And so as I add to my faith, building up my faith account, then all of a sudden I'll realize at some moment, I've got what I need now to exchange my faith to receive the miracle I've been waiting for. That's the currency of the Spirit. That's the way it works. So this lady who had just touched his clothes and received her healing, Jesus said something amazing to her. Luke Renan said, your faith has made you well. Now notice how different all of us are. She didn't come in there with an entourage. She didn't come in there with a ram's horn blowing. She didn't try to call any attention to herself whatsoever and the legitimate need she had for 12 years. She came silently into the presence of God to receive what she needed. And she got what she expected. We all do. We get what we expect. That's the way faith works. Well, I'm not sure. Maybe so, maybe not. Well, then you don't have enough faith in your account to exchange for the miracle you need. That's all right. Not the end of the story. Keep adding to your faith. Keep hearing the Word. Like this woman, I heard about Jesus. And then I said, if I can touch him, don't even have to touch him, just the hem of his garment. Jesus looked at her and said, your faith has made you well. She got what she expected. That's the way faith works. Now, when it talks about getting what you expect, as a boy growing up in a Pentecostal church, one of my boyhood pastors told a story I'm not claiming this to be original. I'm just saying I didn't say this. I'm not this cheesy. But my boyhood pastor said it, and he made a good point, and I remember. So I'm going to give him credit because it's due him. But when it comes to we get what we expect, he told the story of a man who lived in an humble, simple home on this side of the road, and right across the road from him was an ugly mountain. Nothing green ever grew. It was just dirt and rocks and dust and ugly. And so he hated that mountain. That's the only thing he could see from his porch, is that ugly mountain. And so he thought one day, well, you know, the Bible says, I can speak to a mountain and tell it to move and it'll move. So before he went to bed one night, the man looked at that mountain and said, "Mountain, I'm commanding you to move. In the morning when I wake up, I expect you to be gone." And he shut the door, went to bed and went to sleep, got up the next morning. First thing he did is walked to the front door and opened it and looked out across the road, and that mountain was still there. And he said, "Just what I thought, it didn't go anywhere." So we get what we expect in the life of faith. Now, Jesus said to her, "According to your faith." Now, he does two healing miracles right here. One was because of a woman's faith when she reached out and touched him. It's not always that way. A question this morning is, when it comes to receiving a miracle that you need, who does the touching? Now, this woman was rare. The Gospels are filled with one account after the other where somebody called for Jesus and he went to where the need was and he touched them. Remember the father whose little girl was dying at the point of death, sick, and his appeal was this: "Master, will you come and lay your hands on her? She will be made well." So his faith, the faith of this father whose daughter was at the point of death, his faith was not where the woman with the issue of blood was. Her faith was, "I'm going to touch him." This father's faith was, "But he needs to come and lay hands on my daughter. He needs to do the touching." And the moral of the story is, God responds to our faith in whatever form it shows up. He said to this woman, "According to your faith." You reached out and touched. You worked your way through this crowd and somehow got close enough to touch my garment. And I knew immediately when faith was working and made a demand on my healing power that's inside my physical body. At this moment, I knew power left me that met a need and performed a miracle. I knew it when it happened. Your faith, Jesus told the lady. But here's what she knew that we might need to learn today. We don't always have to wait for the touch of God to come to us. This woman teaches us that we can reach out and touch him. He responds to faith both ways. We sometimes have a need. It's critical. It's desperate. And we go around the mountain and the cycle of emotions, which could include self-pity and anger and all kind of things. It's a roller coaster. Sometimes on the journey, when we have a need and we become more and more desperate, and we're waiting and waiting and waiting on a move of God. Now, I'm all about the timing of God. There is a time. 90% of the will of God is timing. But sometimes while we're waiting on the move of God to come to us, God is waiting on a move of man. We don't always have to wait for him to come and touch us. If you'll come to my house and lay your hands on my daughter, if you'll come and touch her, she'll be made well. Sometimes God is saying, "I'm available. I'm accessible. You can reach me." And he's waiting on us to take that step. Now back to Jairus' daughter. Can you imagine the desperation in that father? I'm a father. I have two daughters. If either of my daughters were at the point of death, I know what the urgency would feel like. I know what the desperation would look like. I would be going before the Lord, I mean, as you would. Please, come quickly. She's at the point of death. She's still breathing right now, but don't delay. Hurry and come and lay hands on her. And if you do that, I know she'll be made well. But Jairus wanted his daughter healed at that moment. But he would find out that moment belonged to another daughter. Jairus wanted his daughter healed before it was too late. And we see here, by practice, Jesus yielded to divine delays. In fact, he is such a miracle worker that he would stop long enough to perform a miracle here while he was on the way to perform another miracle elsewhere. Someone said, if you look at the life and ministry of Jesus, you'll see that his life was like this. He went from one place of prayer to another place of prayer, and he performed miracles in between. But some of you may be dealing with a divine delay. God's not met your timetable. It's a divine delay. Oh, he's doing good. He's doing good. Wherever he is, he's doing nothing but good. But your miracle hasn't come yet. Now, let's look at four ways quickly, and we're calling it brunch next door. We can be out of here. If you haven't had breakfast, you're not going to starve. We're getting ready to go out and enjoy cheeseburgers and hot dogs. But I can quickly mention four things, and there are more than four, but different ways God responds to faith. Number one, your own faith. Jesus looked at this lady and said, your faith has made you well. I don't know about your friends. I don't know where they are spiritually. I don't know if you've got a prayer group. I don't know if you've got a pastor who believes. I don't know if you have a favorite television evangelist. I don't know about everything. But your faith. I don't even know if you've got anybody else in agreement with you. I believe in the power of agreement where two or more. But your faith. Jesus didn't give credit to anybody but to her for the faith she had to receive the miracle she needed. Her attitude was like this. I've heard about Jesus. I've heard about he goes where needs are and he touches people, blind eyes, deaf ears, even the dead, and he heals and makes alive again. I've heard. But I've been this way for 12 years. And I hear he's close by. I'm not waiting on him to come. He don't even need to do that. My faith is I'll be the one to pursue him. I'll be the one that chases after him. And there are two scriptures that confirm that's possible. One from the Old Testament, God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, and God said, you will seek me and you will find me, God said, whenever you search for me with all your heart. Now that's a witness from the Old Testament. Here's one from the New Testament. The writer of Hebrews said, he that comes to God must do two things, and both have to do with faith. First of all, you must believe that he is. He called himself the I Am. He's always present. He is. You got to believe in God. No need to waste your time. Well, Lord, I don't even know if you're real. But roll your eyes at God. You got to believe that he is, that he exists. And then secondly, after you believe that he is real. You've got to believe that he is also a rewarder to everyone who diligently seeks after him. So this woman's faith alone, not a prayer of agreement, not two or three in agreement, even though there's so much more power, she had enough for herself. Jesus said, your faith. And then, secondly, Jesus responds to somebody else's faith, as in the story of the sick little girl here. Her father, Jairus, is the one who had faith for the daughter to be healed. Jesus can touch her through somebody else's faith. And this principle is seen all throughout the Gospels, during the ministry of Jesus. Remember, there is that account in one of the Gospels where a paralyzed man was lying on his bed and couldn't budge. He couldn't move. He was completely paralyzed. But he had some friends that had faith for him. I'm thankful sometimes when I have a need and I may be short on my faith account right now. I'm just not sure if I can believe God. There are others who have faith praying together. Oh, there is power in agreement. People who will spend their faith for a need in somebody else's life to be met. The Bible said that four friends of this paralyzed man each got on one corner of that bed, all four of them, and they carried that cot or that mattress with the paralyzed man. They wanted him to receive a healing miracle so badly, they put forth a little effort. They broke some sweat. And they carried that bed all the way to the house where Jesus was teaching. And the house was packed full. People standing around the outside trying to hear every word Jesus was saying on the inside of the house. And these four, here's how faith works now. Especially when you got three or four people in agreement together. I imagine I've already been out of breath. I have carried 25% of this bed and this paralyzed friend of mine so far already, and now look, we can't even get him through the door. Too many people here. I'm ready to call it. I don't have any more energy. But no, faith says, we're not going to stop. We're not stopping short. Faith says we don't stop short. We believe for another burst of strength and anointing to go the rest of the way. So these four friends had enough faith for their paralyzed friend to be healed that they said, whatever it takes, we're not coming this far and stopping short. So they climbed on top of the house and began throwing shingles off. I know what that looks like because we had our roof reshingled a few years ago. To be careful coming in and out of the door. I mean, because a shingle, they'll just rip it and throw it down. I mean, you have to stay out of the way. Can you imagine the dust that was stirred when that roof, they started tearing the roof off, and then they somehow got that man on his bed up on top of the house, and there was a hole they had made in the roof, and all four of those friends. I mean, this is faith in agreement. And here's what the Bible says. When Jesus healed that paralyzed man, they had lowered down into the room with an open roof. The Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, the man was healed. God responds to faith. And then now here's the ultimate. In my opinion, this is the last one. And in my opinion, this is the ultimate. There was a centurion that came to Jesus while Jesus was doing good, ministering healing and meeting needs in the crowd. And this Roman soldier, a man of authority, he had 100 Roman soldiers under his command in his unit, came to Jesus and said to him, Master, I have a servant at home and he's sick. And that's all he said. He didn't say, will you come and touch him? He didn't say, will you come and lay hands on him? Will you? All he said was, Master, I have a servant at home and he's sick. And Jesus voluntarily said these words exactly. I will come and heal him. I will come and heal him. Now that would have been enough right there for me. You will? Come on, let's go. Jesus only heard about the need. There was no pressure. There was no stress. There was no timeline. There was no deadline given. But Jesus voluntarily said, I will come and heal him. And that centurion said, not necessary. You don't need to stop what you're doing, all the good you do, and come all the way to my house and touch him. The centurion said, I understand how authority works. And I know you're a man under the authority of God the Father. That's obvious. And I too have some understanding of authority because I am a man under authority. If I had been writing that, I would have bragged about, Jesus, I see you're a man in authority. I too understand authority because I am a man in authority. I got 100 men under my authority. But this centurion, this high-ranking Roman officer, didn't say, I understand how authority works because I'm a man in authority myself. He said, I'm a man under authority. I have some understanding. You don't even have to leave where you are. Just speak the word only from where you are, and he will be made well. Now, that to me is the highest form. Oh, Lord, you don't have to come and lay your hands. I don't even have to come and touch your garment. I have enough faith to believe that if you'll just speak the word only right from where you are, the need will be met. Oh, I'm just telling you, there's another dimension in the spirit. We are three-dimensional. I think that's about all we can handle. But there is another dimension in the spirit realm. We can't see or understand with our eyes or our mind, but it's a more real dimension than the natural realm. For instance, this building we're in, probably in 100 years, maybe 200 years, it won't even be here. It will be reduced to nothing. And look around, even those of us in these temples of flesh, we're not going to be around forever, but the realm of the Spirit is everlasting and eternal. And everything in the natural realm that is natural and visible to our eyes is influenced by that which is spiritual and invisible to our natural eyes. And for a man to have an understanding of God's authority like this centurion had, all you need to do is speak the word. That's all we need is for God to speak the word. And he is speaking his word. There is always a word. And Jesus offered, I will come and heal him. Lord, you don't have to come. Just speak the word. Matthew 8 and verse 10 says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And then in verse 13, Matthew 8, 13, Jesus said to this centurion, go your way, and listen to this phrase, as you have believed, so let it be done for you. As you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Now, I'm going to wrap it up, I'm giving you a couple of more witnesses. The Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. So we don't want to take a verse or two out of context and make an unbalanced theological doctrine out of it. So just to be sure, we're good to go on these different ways God responds to faith. Sometimes it's your faith by yourself. No agreement necessary. You've got all you need. Sometimes you may not. It's great to be in partnership with prayer partners and brothers and sisters who have enough faith for your need to be met when you may not have enough faith for your need to be met. But here we go, a couple of verses in closing. James 4:8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. This woman acted on that principle. I'm not waiting at my house for him to come by. I don't have to. I know he does it that way too, and how blessed those people are when Jesus shows up at their house and lays his hand on you and gives you a... But I'm not waiting for that. I'm going to draw near to God. And the Bible says he will draw near to me. And then there's Hebrews 4:16. I don't even have to just draw near, but let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So not only should some of us have a light bulb going off in our spirit this morning, I've had this need for so long now, I've been waiting. I've been waiting on God to come near, but I don't have to wait for him to come touch me. I can draw near to him and he will receive me and draw near to me. And I don't have to tiptoe in with any fear that he may not appreciate me showing up in his presence. He invites me to boldly come before him. And then, if you're still doubting, I'm just not sure if I can actually be the one to touch him. I don't know if he would like that. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched by our weaknesses and our infirmities. My, we don't have a God who's untouchable, who's unavailable, who's inaccessible. No, he throws the door wide open. He invites his chosen people, that's everyone who's heard and believed and received, to come in to him. You know that famous picture of Jesus standing at the door and knocking. It has been around longer than I have, I'm sure. I remember seeing it as a boy. Jesus standing on the outside of a door, knocking. And he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in and fellowship with him. I mean, that's how much he wants intimacy with his people. But notice, I preached a sermon one time, the door without a handle. In all those pictures, there's no handle. The handle is on the inside. On the inside where we are. We're the ones who have to turn the handle and open the door. Jesus, now don't you know Jesus could have blown that door off the hinges. God does things so differently than I would. I mean, he's always right and I would be wrong, but I would have blown that door. I said I want to come in and fellowship with you. No, there's a difference between you and God, because God has never thought he was you. There are the lyrics to a song. You know them. But I'm not going to sing. Now, I could just break right out in song. But you'll recognize the lyrics. Let me touch him. Let me touch Jesus. Let me touch him as he passes by. And then there was a song that was sung in my church growing up. A few of you were there. I know my sister Deborah was there. You remember this song, and they would just break out in song. Whether the musician was at the keyboard or not, when the Spirit hit them, they would just, when they could tell that the presence of God was close by and tangible, somebody, it would be Brother Lamb or somebody, would just, now that's the way we had church back then, would just start singing and everybody would join in. And it would be this song with these, like, reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Would you stand?